This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue in the third book of the Psalter, covering Psalms 80, 81, and 82. Restore us, O God, the man of your right hand. Hear, O my people, honey from the rock, rescue the weak and needy. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips.
My mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus' teaching in our text must have had significant meaning for St. Matthew the Evangelist. Matthew, of course, knew about treasure. Before Jesus calls him, Matthew lived his life at the tax booth, yes, in the service of mammon. And as a tax collector, countless coins passed through his hands daily. And so Matthew must have had firsthand knowledge that money is not merely a physical thing. Rather, its very presence bears a power. Its presence changes human behavior. Money is like gravity that draws men into its orbit by a very compelling force. And so at his tax booth, Matthew surely experienced the power of mammon. He even experienced it in the hatred of his kinsmen. Tax collectors were despised. And to be sure, the people justified their hatred of tax collectors with claims of injustice and fraud and corruption, claims that surely had merit. However, Matthew also knew that there was a deeper root to this hatred. The hostility directed at the tax collector is at its root a visible form of man's love for mammon. And so in our text, Jesus teaches about treasure. And Jesus' teaching follows now a common pattern that characterizes the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' teaching consistently seeks to penetrate below the surface and confront the root of the issue. True righteousness must extend beyond mere actions into the heart of a man. The commandments against murder and adultery, Jesus reads as warnings against anger and lust. And so now in our text, Jesus' teaching about treasure again focuses on the human heart. Here there is no discourse on economic theory, no argument for proper monetary policy, no advocating for tariffs or new laws of taxation. For Jesus, the root of the issue is how earthly treasure rules in the hearts of men. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Yet how does mammon invade the heart? How does it penetrate to the depth of a man's being so that he can exert its power? For Jesus, it begins with the eye. The eye is the lamp of the body, he says. A lamp, of course, is useful because it holds a flame that can enlighten the path and serve as a guide for the journey. However, lamps do not light themselves. They must receive their flame from some source. And so when something draws our attention, when we fix our eyes on what is beautiful and appealing, then the eye becomes a lamp, a vessel in which the flames of desire are kindled. And so Satan works to open the eyes of the woman so that she finds the forbidden fruit to be a delight to the eyes and desirable to make one wise. Fixed on Uriah's wife, David's eyes become a lamp lit with the dark flames of lust so that his whole body becomes full of darkness. Indeed, the eye has a unique power among the senses. Smell, touch, taste are only really effective at close range. Hearing and seeing have the power to sense something from a distance, and so they are the first and most powerful of the senses. Yet hearing seems a bit slower and a more indirect experience. Hearing is more connected to the mind, where our reasoning ability acts as a filter, interpreting and examining and judging what is heard. However, the sense of seeing is unique. It is quicker and more immediate. The eyes have a more direct line into the heart. To hear words is to think, but to see beauty is to desire. And so the eye is the lamp of the body, Jesus says. To see mammon is to desire it. To possess riches now promises security and pleasure and fulfillment. To lack wealth brings the dangers of poverty and hunger and thirst and suffering and death. Thus, seeing mammon, our world works hard to possess it and to grow it, to preserve it, to build it, to secure it, to enjoy it. Mammon is indeed a dark flame. And if your eye is fixed on the things of this world, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light in you is darkness, Jesus says, how great is the darkness. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. And when we fix our eyes on earthly things, how easily our hearts are then inflamed with all manner of dark desires. The root of the issue is not finally Eve's eating or Cain's murder of his brother or David's adultery or the rich man's building of bigger barns. Rather, all such actions proceed from hearts in love with mammon. And as Jesus says, you cannot serve God and mammon. To serve two masters is to hate the one and to love the other. God does not merely seek our obedient actions, our pious words, our proper thoughts. God seeks the heart of the man. He seeks his desire, even his love. And so you cannot serve God and mammon. With these words, Jesus now announces the beginning of a battle. Our God comes in the flesh that he might now do battle with mammon for the hearts of men. Our Lord does not passively wait for a man's heart to turn. He does not stand aside hoping that man's desire for mammon fades, hoping that a new desire is kindled somehow in the human heart, one that finally seeks the treasure of heaven. No, rather, our God now buries the treasure of heaven in the heart of the earth. He now hides his eternal treasure in human flesh and blood so that it might be accessible to the human eye. Blessed are your eyes, Jesus says. Truly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see and did not see it. In Jesus, a new treasure is now being unveiled before men, a treasure that neither moth nor rust can consume, that thieves cannot break in and steal. In his miracles, we see the power that can heal the infirmities of the body. In his teaching, we see the eternal wisdom that exposes the lies and illusions of the devil. In his cross, we see his love for mankind, his freedom to give up everything in this world to redeem his people. In his resurrection, we see that divine life that overcomes death, and in his ascension, we see the true beauty of his glory, eternal and incorruptible. Dear friends, Christ comes in the flesh that he might open your eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body, and Christ comes that your eye might now be lit with a new flame. Christ seeks to fill your heart with that same desire that once moved Moses to ascend the mountain in the hope of seeing the glory of the Lord face to face. Christ seeks to kindle in you that longing of Abraham to see Jesus' day. He seeks to inspire in your heart that enduring expectation of old Simeon for the revelation of God's glory in the face of Jesus. And so, dear friends, let us, like St. Matthew, let us get up from the tax booth. Let us depart from the service of mammon. Like Solomon, let us despair of mammon's power as a vanity of vanities and a striving after wind. Instead, let us now fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And may the Spirit inflame our hearts with the desire for the heavenly treasure that is even now hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you.
For you answer me.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Because your steadfast love is better than life.
My lips will praise you.
For you have been my help.
And in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Unite my heart to fear your name.
I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great.
Save your people and bless your heritage.
Be their shepherd and their forever.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer.
Listen to my plea for grace.
In our prayers, we remember Forney, daughter of J.T. and Dana Elmore, as she undergoes medical testing. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, it is by your grace that we live as your people who offer acceptable service. Grant that we may walk by faith and not by sight in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, graciously comfort Forney in her suffering and be with her as she undergoes medical testing. Take away her fear and strengthen her faith that she may trust in your merciful will and cling to your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, grant us to know you and love you and rejoice in you. And if we cannot do these perfectly in this life, let us at least advance to higher degrees every day till we can come to do them in perfection. Let the knowledge of you increase in us here, that it may be full hereafter. Let the love of you grow every day more and more here, that it may be perfect hereafter, that our joy may be great in itself and full in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, our dear Son, that you have kept this sin from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep us this day also, sin and every evil, that all my doings and my life may please you. For if you are ready to deliver myself, my body and soul will hold.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.